I've learned preaching the word and growing up in church that if you come to church with expectation, something tends to happen. Now, you can come to church with no expectation, but to me, if I've had a rough week where people been pulling from me, if I've had a rough week where disappointments may have happened, if I've had a week where I just need a miracle, I did not come to church just to be get a pep talk. I didn't come to church just to get told that, you know, to get beat up. No, I came to church this morning because I believe there's a miracle in the house. I believe there's a word in the house that can change and shift the trajectory of your life. I don't know what you're facing today, but what I do know is God is real. What I do know is that the power of God is real. And if you can just decide, just for these next 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 70 minutes, I'm black, next 3 hours, okay, listen. For the next 30 minutes, if you can just say, God, you're talking to me. And whatever he shows you, he's gonna talk to you throughout this service. There's always two sermons going on. There's the one that you hear here, and there's the one you hear right here. And you're gonna be hearing me preach here, but throughout the whole sermon, God is going to be speaking to you right here. It always comes, the word always comes with application. He may ask you to do something today. You better do it. He may ask you to give something. You better give it. He may ask you to confess something. You better confess it. Because God may see something that's coming, and he's going to give you what you need today in a word so you can walk out with the full transparency and understanding that God is for you and not against you. So I want everyone to lift their hands in expectation right now and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I pray over everybody that's in this room, God, from the volunteers in the back, the volunteers as with our children, to every person that's in this room. God, would you speak to them? Would you quicken their mortal body? If they're in need of a healing, heal them. If they're in need of a miracle in their marriage, give them the miracle in their marriage. If they just need peace because what they're going through is so hard, Lord, give them peace. God, I thank you for what you're going to do today. I'm so excited. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Listen, I'm Pastor Daryl's little black brother, Tyshawn Rowling. We all know he's black. When he starts singing, you're like, there's a black on that family for sure. You know, I love Pastor Daryl. I love, in fact, the whole entire family. And can we just honor the leadership of this house right now? Can we thank God for not just Pastor? Can we thank God for the First Lady, the woman of God, out here looking amazing with your white blazer? Let them know. Let them know. I need to get me a white blazer in the name of Jesus. I'm going to come up here looking like Michael. You know what I'm saying? I got it. I'm excited to be here today. And my name is Tyshawn Rowland. I'm an evangelist. I lead a ministry alongside my wife called Project Salvation. Maybe you have heard me preach before. And hey, baby girl, that's my daughter. If you hear a whole bunch of dadas while I'm preaching, it's her over there. And hi, I love you too. And me and my wife, we started a ministry about 2 years ago called Project Salvation, with the heart to reach the lost and the heart to see people saved. And in the last 2 years, this may not be a big number to you, but this is a huge number to me. So I'm gonna ask you to clap aggressively to make me feel good about myself. And if you don't, I will drop this mic and I will leave, okay? But over the last 2 years, we've seen over 12,000 people reach for the glory of God. Yes, we have, yes, we have. We've seen almost 2,000 people saved in the name of Jesus. Yes, we have. And we've seen thousands of people connected to the local church. And it's just so amazing. You know, when God gives you a vision and you step out, in the beginning, it doesn't look like it's gonna work out, but eventually, what you see is that God aligns your path in such amazing ways. And so we're seeing God do some incredible things in our ministry. And if you ever think of me or my wife, just pray that God will continue to point us to where we need to go so we could preach the gospel with power, clarity, and displaying all that God wants to do. But listen, I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm going to read from verse 1 through 11. Now, if the verses are not on the screen, that's because they didn't have them because I didn't give it to them. So it was my bad. So don't be mad at them. Be mad at me because I changed the verses literally as I was driving up to church today. And so I'm going to read verse 1 through 11, give title, and we're going to pray. And I believe God is going to do something supernatural. It reads like this. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, and you shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord, please remember how I've walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart, and I've done what's good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him, turned back, and said to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will hear you. I want to say this for everyone listening to me one more time. He has heard your prayers. He has seen your tears, and he will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you in the city of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will see Assyria. Sometimes I think Assyria, but that's my problem because I'm a big back in the name of Jesus. And I will defend the city for my own sake and my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, bring a cake of figs. Look, cake right there again. And let them take and lay it on the boil that he may recover. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up to the house on the third day? And Isaiah said, this shall be the sign from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he had promised. So he's going to give him an option. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it come back 10 steps? And Hezekiah said, it's an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather, let the shadow go back 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and when he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which it had gone down the steps of Ahaz. I want to preach a simple message entitled, When Kings Pray. When Kings Pray. And before I pray, I want to also just say this over Rebecca. You were up here. Are you right there? Is that right there? Rebecca, what you said today when I was walking in, and you were talking about how, like, self-reliance, when we realize that we can't be self-reliant, I just felt like I wanted to tell you this, that because you're understanding that principle, God is about to open up the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing that you're not even going to be able to handle, because you're finally starting to understand, hey, it's really not about anything else except what the Lord is asking you to do. I believe miracles are coming, but I want us to pray for the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're going to do today. I thank you for this message that you've given me. I pray that it comes with power and clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Everybody said, amen. Have you ever gotten news that the only thing that you could do is pray? You know, sometimes you'll get news and you can try to figure out, hey, tell me what's going on. What happened? You know, and you get the news, and sometimes the news is not bad enough that you have to turn to God, because maybe you feel like you could do it in and of yourself. But sometimes we will find ourselves in circumstances that are so heavy, that are so hard, that sometimes may hit us out of nowhere, where the only thing that we could do is pray. Hezekiah gets some news that maybe if I got, I'm sure that I would have done the same thing that he did. Pray. I got to pray, because there's nothing else I can do. Sometimes you'll find yourself in a circumstance that I'm telling you, TikTok won't help you. Instagram can't help you. YouTube can't help you. AI with all its fancy capabilities cannot help you. Sometimes you will find yourself in a circumstance where the only person that you can call and the only thing that you can do is call on God and pray to God, because he's the only one that can get you through it. What you got to know in this story, Hezekiah is such an important king. There's so many things going on in his life currently. Currently, he is protecting Judah militarily. He has to protect the people. He also has to lead the people of Judah spiritually. He also has to lead the people of Judah politically. He also, at some point, is going to have a son, because he has to preserve the Davidic line, because it is through the Davidic line that our Savior Jesus Christ is going to be born. So you got to understand, Hezekiah has a lot of pressure. Everybody say pressure. Have you ever had pressure? For some of you, your pressure it's not in the title king, it's in the title mom. Some of you, the pressure is not in the title king, it's in the title dad. It's in the title of being a young man, or it's in the title of being a young lady, and you feel like you just have these pressures, and you have to do what the Lord is asking you to do, and you gotta be what the Lord is asking you to be, and then out of nowhere, now you have a sickness. Now, if you read this chapter before, he just experienced victory in chapter 19. This army, Assyria, the king actually comes and he tries to come against the people of Judah. And what you gotta know is that God ends up giving him the victory. Now I'm gonna pause and I'm gonna be a teacher for a second. I was telling this to my wife on the drive to church today, and there was someone I cut off. If it was you, I'm sorry, I just had to get here, okay? But I was cutting people off and then I was declaring the blood over them, okay? But as I was driving, I was telling my wife, I said, 2 Kings is pretty interesting. Originally, I gave the team, I gave them 2 Chronicles, and I was gonna talk about this same story because it's in the Bible twice. And I was telling my wife, I was like, the way my mind works, I like things chronological. So it's easier for me to explain the Bible to you if I tell you that chapter 18 and 19 came before chapter 20. Now, I'm gonna stop there and let you know this, that even though I'm reading chapter 20, chapter 20 already happened before chapter 19. So that may be hard for you to believe. If you don't believe me, go ask chat later on. Is this man lying? Is this black man lying to me? I promise you, I'm not lying to you. I'm trying to give you how it works. And essentially, it's called thematic writing. Essentially, the writer is trying to break down a theme. A better way to explain it would be if you watch documentaries. Documentary, the episode 1 is talking about the army. And then episode 2 is going to tell you what the leader of the army was going through during that battle. So by the time we get to chapter 20, it says this. It says, in those days. Now the question would be, what days? Those days is what chapter 19 is about. And so essentially what God is trying to share with us, he's going to tell you, you saw the victory in chapter 19 for the people. But what you did not know is that there was a private battle in chapter 20. And he had to not just lead the people publicly, but there was something that he was going through privately. Is there anybody in here that you are frustrated because you can't tell people publicly what you've been going through privately? Because you can't admit to everyone that you're weak because some people are depending on your strength. You can't tell everybody what you're going through because you don't know who you can trust with this side of your life. So Hezekiah doesn't have a lot of people that he can talk to about this, but he's a praying man. How do we know he's a praying man? Well, when he becomes the king, the first thing that he does is that he tears down the temple. He restores order. He begins to teach people the laws. He begins to teach people prayer. Hezekiah was a good king. He was a great man. But even this great man, no matter how good you are, no matter how great you are, no matter how rich you are, sickness has no prejudice. It comes after everybody. I've met people who are broke that get sick. I met people who are rich and get sick. I'm saying this for anyone in the room that feels like there's something wrong with you because you're going through something. The Bible says it this way. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Everyone is going to find themselves going through a circumstance, a time or two, where you're going to wake up and you're going to have to come to this realization, which is point number one is, I can't do this by myself. I don't know who this is for, but if there's a man in this room and you're trying to lead your family, you're trying to lead your wife, and you're trying to lead your daughter, and you're trying to lead everything that God has for you, you can't do that alone. If there's a young lady in this room and you're trying to become all that God asks for you, you're trying to pursue what the Lord has for you, let me say this, you cannot do this alone. In and of yourself, like Rebecca said, self-reliance only can take you so far. In fact, I think something that's better than self-reliance is self-awareness. To come to the conclusion that, hey, God, I cannot do this. I need you to do a miracle in my life. I remember the first time I prayed to God for a miracle. I was 15 years old, I'm sorry. And I went to the doctor. My mom was really, really sick. My mom was just, since I was a kid, I always remember sick with something. This time particularly, she had a succession of surgeries, and she had a herniated disc, and there was a list of medication. I remember going into the room after the last surgery was done, and the doctor looked at me. He's like, are you the man of the house? I said, no. He says, and my mom's like, yeah. I said, oh, I'm a man now. Okay, I'm the man of the house. Yes, that's right. I'm gonna stay up as long as I want if I'm the man. And the doctor says, well, if you're the man, and all jokes aside, he got real serious real quick. And he said, all right, man, I'm gonna need you to do this. Here's this medication. Your mom needs this before she eats. Do not give her this medication after she eats. And she needs to have this one at night. Don't give this one in the morning. If she takes this one in the morning, she's gonna be throwing up all day. And you need to make sure to be there for her. Make sure she takes liquid with this. She's gonna have a lot of water. And I'm over here as a kid being like, this is too much. And I remember, I think my mom was on about 8 or 9 medications. And it was like, there was something about the medicine that made everything real to me that day. I remember that my mom's friends came to the doctor, picked my mom up. We all went back to the house and they set the house up to make it easier for my mom. And I'm 15 years old, I'm in high school and I don't got a dad in the home. And this doctor said, your mom, man, just want to let you know you got to do this because it could go sideways. You know, she could potentially die. And now I'm a young man thinking, is my mom going to die? Is my mom going to continue to get sicknesses? And I didn't know what to do. And I watched a lot of preachers. I wanted to be a preacher since I was 12 years old. So like to me, when I don't know what to do, I'm going to put on a preacher and I put on Bishop Jakes. I couldn't find anything from Pastor Duro at the time to let him know that I was looking for him, but I couldn't find him. So I settled for Jakes. I settled, okay? And Jakes talked about the power of prayer, you know, the only way he could. And if he's like, if you're going through a sickness, pray. And I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray because I don't know what else to do. I'm 15 years old. And I got a list of medication I'm supposed to help my mom with, and it feels like this is too much for me. And I went to God in prayer. So God, I need you to do a miracle in my mother's life. Can God still heal? Yes, he can, because a few months later, this preacher from Australia comes named Tim Hall. And Tim Hall shows up, a big old burly fella, and he was like praying over people. And it was weird because everyone he prayed over, they fell out. And I don't know if they were falling or if he was pushing. It seemed a little bit of both. I don't know. And he started, you know, you ever go to a church that they just, I mean, people be falling on the power. And then and you sometimes, if you want it, you look at the preacher. But if you don't want it, don't look at the preacher. Because he'll be looking like, yeah, you'll fall. Come here, you know. And I remember he was laying out everybody. I'm in the front row like, man, this is amazing. And then it seems like he's staring at me. And I realize, you're not staring at me. Who is he staring at? And my mom's right there. And he was like, you. And I was like, hey, homie, if you put your hand on my mother and she falls down, you're going to fall down next, Mr. Timothy. You ain't messing with my mom. She's sick. And I remember he laid his hand on my mom. My mom fell out. I was like, I'm about to kill him. This is it. It's done. I'm about to knock this guy out. And my mom, and then my mom, she gets back up. And I'm trying to help her with the walker. And she looks at me like I'm the devil. She's like, I don't need that. I was like, yeah, you do. And she pushes the walker out. And my mom walks around the sanctuary 7 times by herself like it was the wall of Jericho. And she gets healed. That is the power of prayer. When you realize in and of yourself that you cannot do it, you have to call on something higher than you. When you come to this place where you recognize that I don't have it, I need something else. Hezekiah is praying, Lord, I need you to heal me. I need you to help me. Lord, I need you to add to my life. God, I need a son. I can't die. I got to preserve this lion. I got to get Jesus here. Jesus, I need you to move. He's praying and he's speaking to the Lord. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is not just you going to God and getting what you want. That's a vending machine, friend. Prayer is you going to God and you getting God. And you can talk to him and you can spend time with him. There's times where you may not get an answer, but you get his presence and that's enough. You may not get the miracle, but you got the man and that's enough. You may not get everything, but you got his presence and that's enough. Prayer is not about getting what you want. It's about spending time with the one that loves you, and that's God. It's prayer is about God. I need you today. But I think one of the most frustrating places to be is that when you pray and you get an answer and you don't like the answer. Ever got that? You're like, man, I'm believing. That's my man. And God says, no, he ain't. And you're like, okay, that hurts. That's your man. You're like, Lord, he ugly. Hey, I know, but I'm gonna do a process. I gotta work. We all pray something and believe something, but what do you do when even you don't like the answer that you get from prayer? Because I think that's what's hard for us. Hezekiah's praying. In those days, he's sick. God, heal me. God, heal me. And here comes Isaiah walking in the room, and Isaiah comes with a word. Hey, I got a word of the Lord. Get your house in order, for you shall die. Like, it's one thing if your enemy tells you you're going to die. It's a whole nother thing when the prophet tells you you're going to die. Hey, this is from God. Get it together, buddy. Get your house in order. You're going to die. The Bible says that Hezekiah gets news and he turns to the Lord immediately. Somebody in this room hears your word. Stop going to God eventually and start going to him immediately. Because if you only go to him eventually, you will collect more parts of your testimony by the time you get to him. But if you learn to go to him immediately, no, I'm going to go to him immediately. I've learned this in my life that there are seasons I have to go to him immediately. Because if I wait too long, it'll get weird. I'll get weird. And we don't like Tyshawn when he gets weird. So I have to get along with God immediately. Last year, me and my wife were doing Project Salvation. We were in Arizona about to have a service. And right before the service, my wife and I came to the conclusion, we went to the doctor, that she had a miscarriage. I had to go to God immediately. There has been times in my life where I get so upset and I'm so hurt, and there's people in this room that you are so mad at God, so you're like, I'm not gonna spend time with him. I'm here to tell you, he's beckoning you. There's a young man in this room and you're like, man, my dad's not here. No, your dad is up there. Talk to him. I promise you, he's beckoning you. He wants you to spend time, intentional time with him. Hezekiah, the Bible says, he prayed and then he prayed again. My second point is this, pray again. Well, Pastor, I prayed once. I don't care. Pray again. Well, nothing changed. I don't care. Pray again. The Bible says that he turned himself to the wall. He gets the news, and he's been praying. He turns and he says, God, and what he tells the Lord is, you know how I've been serving you. I've been serving you with my whole heart, which reveals something to me about Hezekiah that makes me question something about myself. Am I serving him with my whole heart, or am I serving him just with my hands? And when I say hands, I mean the things that people can see. I mean, I serve the Lord. I mean, look, I'm a preacher. I serve the Lord. I started a ministry. I serve the Lord. But God says, what about your heart? There was something special about Hezekiah's heart, because in his prayer, that's what he brought up. He says, you know how I've served you with my heart, with everything that I have, God. I have followed you. I have loved you. There's someone in this room, I really want to say this, that maybe before you get your healing, you need to give God your heart. Because you know how many people get what they want from God and then they walk away from him? Because you wanted a healing, you didn't want him to change your heart. I have this friend that I play video games with, and sometimes he watches my sermon, so I won't say his name at all. And usually I will say his name right after that, but I really won't say his name this time. And he was talking to me about God the other night. And I've known this guy for many, many years, and I just always joke with him, I always play with him. And when life gets really hard, he'll reach out to me. He had a death in a family, and I couldn't be the video game guy. Now I got to be the pastor in his life. And it changed our dynamic of our relationship. Another night, we were talking about just God in such a clear way, and it made me ask him a question. I said, bro, are you really ready to just, like, take this Christian thing seriously? And he says, no. And I'm, like, on the other side. I was like, well, all right. Well, at least he's aware. And he said, well, the reason it's a no is just because, Tyshawn, I know I'm not ready to change. And I said, what a blessing to at least know that the reason that you don't want to come to God is because you know God is going to ask you to change. That's right. You think you can keep that attitude in his presence? You can't. You think you can keep that addiction in his presence? You can't. You think that you can just make God who you want him to be? No, God has to change you. And God wants to make you more like him. You don't want to make God more like you. I went to church last night because I'm not just a preacher that preaches. I also go to a church and I sit in the church. And the pastor said last night, he said, this is how you know that you've made God in your own image. He hates everything you hate. And when he said that, I was like, ooh, yep, God must be Tyshawn, because he got cornrows and hates everybody that I hate. And it made me realize that sometimes instead of humbling our heart and making God be who he's called to be from the scriptures, a bitter heart will turn God into something he's not supposed to be. So you have to ask God to heal your heart. There's someone in this room, you're so mad at God because something happened when you were a child and you really believe that it's his fault. You ask God to heal your heart. You got to invite God into the secret places of your heart that you don't even want to talk about, that when a preacher starts preaching, it kind of irks you a little bit. When you notice the conversation is going in this direction, you try your best to take it back over here because you don't even want to go to that place. And God says, give me that place. I want to be able not to just use your hands, but I want to heal your heart. Hezekiah made God aware. I've been following you with my heart, man, with my heart. God, I don't want to die without a son. God, I don't want to die without doing what you want me to do. God, would you do a miracle? This is a desperate prayer. And this is a prayer that God has already answered, but it shows me something about Hezekiah. Listen to me today. Hezekiah already got the answer. When he goes to prayer the second time, that shows me he just wants to be in his presence. Don't make prayer anything about except his presence. When I go and pray, the only thing I'm looking for is not an answer. I'm looking for his presence. I just want to be with him. And if you're like, Pastor Tyshawn, you're talking about prayer a lot, what does that look like? It's just you talking to God the way you talk to your homies. Just talk to him. And some of you guys don't know how to talk to God because you'd be acting as soon as you pray. It's like, you know what, I'm finally going to pray. Let me just... Heavenly Father, I come to you. Oh, no, I don't even say Heavenly Father. Let me hold on. God, I just, you know, God, this is hard. And I need your help with this. God, the preacher's talking about being pure and being faithful. I need help being pure and faithful. The preacher's talking about being good with money. Lord, I need your help with money. God, I need your help with what's going on. If you ever were to catch me praying, you would be like, man, this guy is talking to God like he's his friend, because he is. He's my friend. He wants to spend time with me, and he wants to spend time with you. And Hezekiah probably had this thought, man, if I'm going to go through hell, I'm going to go through hell with the person I know that can carry me through it, and that is Jesus. And he had that understanding. I want you to have that understanding. The Bible says that after this, Isaiah, now imagine this, Isaiah is the prophet, he declares, he says, hey, this is the word, you're gonna die. I'm sorry, bro, I gotta go. Isaiah, yeah, stop. Turn around. Two hops, two time. I'm joking. I want you to go back to Hezekiah. Okay, I'll go back and tell him what, Lord? Tell him I will add 15 years. God, you lying. You ain't gonna add no 15 years to this boy's life. No, tell him I will. Hezekiah, God has given me another word. Let me say this. I'm here this morning with another word. Amen. I don't know what discouraging word you've been holding on to, but I'm here to tell you that God has another word for you today. And that other word is this: I'm going to heal you. I'm going to add 15 years to your life, and I am going to give you victory with this Assyrian army. It will take place. Hezekiah probably fell out like Tim Hall, like laid his hands on him or something. And the Bible says that he gets healed. Now, when it describes this specific thing that he's going to do for him, it talks about the victory that God is going to bring in Assyria. Now, again, I told you this. If you read chapter 19, you'll see that the victory already happened. And the way that the victory took place is that one night, God sent one angel to take out 189,000 warriors. Listen, one night, God sent one angel to take out 189,000 warriors. All God needs is one night. All God needs is one moment. All God needs is one person to say, God, would you be willing to do a miracle? And God sent an angel, and he gave him the victory publicly. But not only did God give him the victory publicly, but God healed what was going on inwardly. Because there is something powerful when we decide to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Yes. If you're in here today and you're saying, Pastor Tyshawn, man, there's something that I've been going through. before you tell me what it is, have you talked to him about it? Something happened to me 2 weeks ago, talking about the power of prayer, that it shocked me so much because God answers prayer. My dad, I didn't grow up with him in my life. He wasn't in my life. I did hate him for a lot of my life. The reason I stopped hating him is because our family experienced a mass shooting. And I lost 8 family members overnight, and I ended up losing my little brother and my cousin and a lot of other family members. When that took place, I felt like I just couldn't hate my dad anymore because the pain of losing a son that's enough. And it was my dad's best friend who killed our family. There were so many layers that I felt I gotta forgive him. In fact, the night that my mom called me to tell me that my brother was dead, that same night God said, I'm gonna need you to forgive your dad. I was like, I don't wanna forgive him. I hate him. Forgive him. You want me to forgive? Oh, God, okay, I guess I'll forgive him, you know? So I forgave him. Slowly started restoring our relationship. Over the last few years, me and my dad have actually grown to be very close. So much that 2 weeks ago, I took my daughter and my wife back to Mississippi. It's my custom, if I can, I want to go to the grave site where my brother died. And it was my first time to take my daughter. Very emotional moment. That's why I'm crying. Give me a second. I'll come together. We go there, and the next day, my dad's like, hey, Tyshawn, I'm going to take you fishing. I'm like, bro, I'm 32. You missed your moment. I don't want to go fishing. I'm good. He's like, no, we're going fishing. Your brother's going fishing. Your cousin's going fishing. We're going fishing. I was like, Dad, listen, I'm a city boy through and through, homie. You don't want me out there. Those mosquitoes were tearing me up. They love dark meat. So I was like, Dad, don't want to go. And then it just dawned on me, like, Tyshawn, your dad is inviting you to fish. Think about 8-year-old Tyshawn for a second. I'm like, I don't think he would want to do it either, but hey, we're going to do it. So go fishing, and I started recording a lot of different things. Now, at one point, my dad is like trying to show me how to put the bait on the thing, and I don't know what the names are. Don't correct me. I don't care. Okay, so I'm just trying to do my thing, and I put my phone down, and my phone's recording. I didn't know my phone was still recording, and me and my dad, we'd start talking about my brother, and he's like, you know what's crazy, man? I was praying that God would connect me with you for years. He said, the month before your brother died, I saw you post something, and I just said, man, it would be so cool to be back in his life. And God said, because you prayed it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it soon. And then my dad said, then your brother died, and everything changed. And now you're here, and that's that. And I'm over here trying to put this dumb bait on this hook. And I'm realizing that, see, I always thought about my dad from the aspect of me being the son that he left. I never thought about my dad being a father that he wants to have his son back. I never thought about that. But it was in the power of prayer. I don't know where my dad was at, but that was a real prayer. I asked him, I said, has it been hard for you to pray that? He said, absolutely. He said, but that's what's been on my heart every day was you. And I had to take that to God because my dad told me this. He said, I couldn't hold that on the inside anymore. I need to give it to God. There are people that you are dying on the inside because you will not give it to God. You will not talk to God about it. You will not invite God in. I'm here to tell you that the power of prayer is amazing because when you get honest before the Lord, and we're going to have an opportunity to do that today, when you get honest before the Lord, he will move immediately. Immediately. Now, for the sake of time, I want to get through this sermon, but what the Bible says is that Hezekiah receives the healing. He asks for the sign, and the Bible says that they give him some cake, which is like, cake is never a bad thing. If you want to give me some cake, I'll take some cake. You know, I love me some good, I like pineapple cake, if you're just wondering, a coconut, all types of cake, right? Cake is good. But what's interesting to me is the Bible says that the Lord declared the healing through Isaiah, but if we read further, it says that they put something on the boils, which means that this healing, it came with a word, but listen to me, it also came by a process. There is someone in this room and you're mad at yourself because you're like, why can't I break free immediately? Maybe because it took you 27 years to develop that addiction. Why can't I just snap my fingers and I don't look bad and I don't look at myself so bad? Well, you've been looking at yourself so bad and speaking so bad over yourself for the last 40 years. How is an instant gonna do it? Some of us only want God because we want him to do it instantaneously, not knowing that there are sometimes God will do it through a process. There's someone in this room and you've been addicted to a drug and you've been addicted to a substance and you've been addicted to going to alcohol or something. I'm not saying that God is not big enough to heal you. He is. He is. But maybe you need some accountability. You need a system and you need a program and you need a process. Maybe there's a person in this room, you're just not good with money. And you're like, no, I'm good with it. No, you're not. You know you're not good with it. Because every time you get it, you're like, where'd it go? And you're asking God to bless you financially, but if you can't manage what he's giving you properly, you're not gonna be able to handle all the blessings that's coming to you eventually. You can't just do this immediately. Sometimes things come by process. I'll tell you to it my way. What's your name, young man? I prayed over you last time I was here. Noah? Okay, Noah. It was you, right? I prayed over you, right, Noah? So I prayed over Noah, and he came over right before I got up to preach, and he gave me a hug. I got a little emotional, and that's because when I see Noah, I really do see myself. Like, I had glasses, everything. I was a very shy kid. Like, I'm not saying you're shy, Noah. Like, you ain't shy. You're the most confident man I've ever seen in my life. You a grown man. Give it up for Noah one time. You ain't nothing like me, all right? But when I was Noah's age, people would come to me, and it still happens here and there, and I don't say this to make it about me, where people would come to me, and they would point me out in the crowd, and they would speak a word over me, and the word would be so big. And when I would get the word in person, oh, I would be so happy. You know, if it was a heavy word, I would fall on the floor, take me out. But I would go home, and I would ask myself this, how? How? And this preacher said, I'm going to do that, but how? God, how are you gonna make me be this person? I was thinking about this last night. Like, and I don't even think the Hoopers would know this at all. I remember when I became an evangelist and I moved here in 2023, I made a list of places and people that I wanted to preach for, and the Hoopers were on the list. And I remember just making this list of people, and God says, I'm gonna connect you with all these people. And I said, how? And he did not do it overnight. He did it over time. For anybody that's in this room and you know there's greatness over you, you know it. Like, it's actually making you mad because you try to forget it, but you can't not accept it, and you're mad at yourself because your present circumstance doesn't represent what's inside of you. He's going to do it in the process. He's going to grow you into who you're going to be. I know you've been sick for a while, and you want me to just lay my hands on you and put my hand on your forehead, and you want it to be over. But there's sometimes God will do things through process. He will do it through people. He will do it through accountability, because if he does it that way, it will be sustained. And God doesn't want to do a miracle in your life that's going to reverberate back to a mess in your life. He wants to do a miracle that's going to last, that's going to produce a blessing, that's going to produce miracles, not just for you, but everyone attached to you. But you got to be okay that sometimes you got to know it's going to come by process. As the piano comes up, Hezekiah was such an important leader. In fact, he's the 15th king after David. It's been about 300 years. If you're not familiar with a lot of things that took place, I'll let you know really quick that when David was the king, he was the king over all of Israel. When Solomon was the king, he was the king over all of Israel. When Solomon's time as the king concluded, it split into two nations, northern and southern. When we see what Hezekiah is leading, when you read 1 Chronicles, when you read 2 Chronicles, when you read 2 Kings, what you're seeing them preserve is the line that's going to get to Jesus. So Hezekiah is very important, because Hezekiah, he would be like the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus. Now, like I told you, and you're going to have to go home, please do your research. I promise you I'm not lying, but you're going to have to know that chapter 20 comes again, it comes earlier, even though it's after, it's earlier. And so now you gotta ask yourself this question: how old is he when he's sick. That's very important for you to know. He's around 39 to 40. He's around 40 years old, and he's being told, you're gonna die. Get your life in order. I'm gonna tell you why that one sentence, life in order, is hard for him. Because the one thing that he has to do is produce the next king. And he has no son at this point. So when the prophet comes to him and says, you're gonna die, get your house in order, he's like, if I die like this, I have not produced another son. If I do not produce another son, the Messiah is not going to come. I need to produce another son. How can I get my life in order? This makes no sense. Isaiah, why would God tell you to tell? I'm just going to talk to him. God, you know. I've served you with all my heart. I've done everything I know how to do. Lord, would you just heal me? Isaiah comes, says, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. This is why it's so important. Because in the next chapter, there's a new king. The new king's name, Manasseh. Manasseh is the son of Hezekiah. It's very sad what I'm about to say, because he becomes the king when his dad is dead. But he becomes the king at 12 years old. Which means when he prayed the prayer, Hezekiah, he didn't have a son. When he was praying to get the life in order, he said, have you ever felt this way? I can't even do what God is asking me to do because I don't have enough tools to accomplish what he's asking me. Get your house in order. I got no house. I got no son. God, how can I do it? Ask me. Now, what we do know is that at some point, he gets healed, and it has to happen. He ends up having a son. And he got 12 years on earth with his son. I think it's crazy that he was the 15th king and God added 15 years to his life. I just think that's pretty cool. I don't think there's anything significant to it, but God adds 15 years to his life to do what he needed him to do. God added 15 years to his life so he could have a son. God added 15 years of his life so he could continue to be the good king that Israel needed. God added 15 years of his life because he wanted to show him that I am powerful and I can do anything if you just come to me. And so God is a God that's able to add 15 years to someone's life. So if you're in this room and you need something like a miracle, look to the story. If you need God to add time to your life, look at the story. Maybe you're like, Pastor Tyshawn, what I'm going through is not a sickness. What I'm going through is not a circumstance like that. Maybe I'm going through something financial. Go to God. Pastor Tyshawn, it's not nothing financial. We're really good financially. We're really even good spiritually. But man, my son, go to God. Well, actually, my son's doing good. Our finances are doing good. But Lord, it's my husband. Go to God. And you don't believe that God can't move? Tell you one last story, and I'm going to conclude and invite you up to pray. Last year, as I started Project Salvation, we had our crusade, our first crusade in Arizona. We went to a city that I'm not from. We declared and decreed that Lord is going to do it, and in 3 nights, we saw 2,200 people reached. We saw over 400 people saved, and it was amazing, and that miracle was great. Well, the first night, this is a practical thing for those that, you know, you'll understand this. Pastor, you'll understand this. The first night is when we had the most people, actually. We had about 1,200 people show up the first night. And when it came point to do the offering, the screen wasn't able to be seen by the people. And so we put it out there, but people weren't able to give. And I started freaking out in the back. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, we got to pay for this thing. And there's a lot of people in this room. And I think we just missed out on the biggest offering. By the time we get to the end of the event, I was in the red about $60,000. And I said, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I felt so dumb. Have you ever felt dumb listening to the Lord? Oh, I'm the only one, huh? Okay, cool. I'm the only one. I was like, God, I feel so stupid. I'm posting it online. Hey, if you guys see what's going on, give. And people are liking it, but they ain't giving. So I'm like blocking them because I'm mad, you know? And I'm going to show you the power of prayer. Hear me. This is all prayer. Me and my wife, we were debating on going to a conference in Vegas. We're from Vegas, and my old pastor, Pastor Benny Perez, was putting on a conference, and me and my wife felt like we had to go. So we didn't have the finances or anything, but we prayed, and I said, God, if it's you, provide a miracle. And sometimes I wanted the miracle to come in $1,500, enough to pay for the trip, but sometimes it can come in a friend saying, hey, if you get here, we'll take care of your house. If you can get here, we'll take care of your food. If you can just get to that house, we'll give you a car. And God was giving me all these little miracles through Vegas, and I finally get to Vegas, and I'm in the service. Pastor Benny Perez is just known for being super prophetic, and he's just really good at what he does, and he sees me and my wife, and he says, Tyshawn. I was like, Victoria. He's like, I just see the word transformation. I don't know what that means, but God's about to transform you and do some things. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, all I heard was Transformation Church. I ain't gonna lie, I heard Transformation Church. There was a conference in Oklahoma with a preacher named Michael Todd, and me and Victoria won in a raffle through Instagram, able to sit in this like leadership meeting. So I was like, hey, we won this raffle. Pastor Benny said, transformation. We'll just go. But the issue was this. I didn't have money. So now I'm like, God, you want me to go transformation? He says, yes. I said, God, I don't have money. He said, make it known. Just pray to me. I'm praying. I got so annoyed. I jumped on video games because when I get frustrated, I just jump on the video games. My wife hates it, but we all got our thing, okay? She goes shopping. I go to video games. It's our thing. I'm playing video games with my friend, and I was like, man, I'm so frustrated. I felt like God said this, and this friend doesn't have money like this. And he was like, bro, you're not going to the conference? I said, no. He said, but Pastor Benny said transformation. I was like, yeah, but you didn't come with a check, so I can't go. He said, how much is it going to cost? I said, man, and I had to leave in less than 8 hours. This is crazy. I looked up the flights. I said, man, their last minute is $700-something. He said, hey, I just sent you $780. I said, to God be the glory. But you know what was funny? Because he's never sent money like that before, way, I wasn't going to get that money till the next week. So he sent the money. He says it there. I said, nah, bro. I said, I'm going to get it next week. So now we got money on the way, and I'm still in brokenness. I don't know what to do. My wife was on the phone with her sister who works at Southwest, and she's like, hey, I'm a flight attendant. I can get you guys 2 free flights. She got us 2 free flights. To the person that is struggling financially, listen to this story. I promise you, the ending will blow your mind. So now I don't have money, okay? And I never tell the story like this. I'm gonna tell the story and I'm gonna end it. But I did not have money, and now we get free flight tickets. After we get the free flight tickets, me and my wife, we're at our first stop in Houston, our layover. My wife looks over at me and she says, hey, Tyshawn, listen, I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but we don't got no money, so where are we staying? I said, don't bring that up until we get to the next flight. I'm just let the Lord work. And I'm about to fall asleep on my wife, and I see a friend named Cruz, a pastor that's known me since I was 17 years old. I said, Pastor Cruz, what are you doing here? He says, I'm going to Transformation Conference. I said, word, I'm going too. He said, where are you staying? I said, where are you staying? And I said, Cruz, I don't have a place to stay. And he said, no, you were Cruz. You got a place now. And he books our hotel. I get to Transformation night one, and we have the session with Michael Todd. He's and I don't get anything for saying this, but I just see him get just teared down on social media. One of the nicest men I've ever met in ministry. I've met people that are known all around the world. I've worked for one of the biggest and best ministers, and I'm telling you, I put Michael Todd up there when it comes to generosity, when it comes to kindness. Like, if you have anything bad to say, don't say it to me, because I will throw this mic at your face so quick, okay? He was just so kind. And that night, I remember watching him on stage, and I haven't even told this to him, but I saw him on stage, and God said, he's gonna bless you. He sees what you're doing. He gets you. I was like, no, he doesn't. He don't get me. He don't even know me. The next day, I wake up in the morning with texts from multiple people, one of them being my landlord, because I was so stupid. People don't know this part. I took all of the money I had personally. Me and my wife, I took our personal finances, and I put it all in Project Salvation. Dumbest thing I've ever did. Because now I had nothing to show for it. So my landlord's texting me, our car, I owe some people some money. And I wake up that morning and I said, God, have you ever had so much pressure you couldn't move? Where you're just like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Okay, calm down. And I just got up. I went to church that night and I was in worship. And I got so mad at worship that I walked out the room because I couldn't even say the words that were on the screen because I didn't believe it right here. My wife follows outside. She's like, what are you doing out here? I was like, I'm sorry. She's like, for what? I was like, I'm sorry for becoming an evangelist and moving us back to Gainesville. I'm sorry for walking back from the woods and telling you a random name called Project Salvation. I'm sorry for taking all the money that we had and putting it in this ministry because nothing's happening. I thought it would have popped off by now. I thought it would have worked out by now. Babe, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to listen to God. And my wife, because my wife's a woman of God, she looked at me and she said, shut up and go inside and worship. And I was like, well, first off, yes, ma'am. Okay. And I went in. And I lifted my hands. And right before I did, I said, Lord, if you could, just do a miracle. Because I feel like I'm looking stupid. Michael Todd's down there. And he says, Tyshawn and Victoria, would you come down to the stage? I grabbed my wife. I said, there could be a lot of Tyshawns. It was a black church. I said, let's be the first Tyshawn on stage. You know, let's got to beat them. I saw another one. I take them out. And I got on that stage, and he called. I started realizing he was calling other couples. I was so lost in the moment, I thought he only called me. And then I got on stage, and it was other couples. And then I realized this. They're all senior pastors. Oh, I know what's going to happen. He's probably going to give me $10,000, give this guy $25,000, give this guy $50,000. And this guy, I know he know that guy. He's going to give him $100,000. That is what I was thinking. So then I'm looking at him on stage and I was like, man, this man smells very nice. He does, smells very great. I don't know what he's wearing, but I was like, I need some of that. And he looks at me and he says, hey, we are giving Project Salvation $100,000. And I said, hold the, what? If you look back, I fall on my knees. I hit the Lord one of these. I said, Jesus. And it was a joke. Now, but I was not joking that night. That night, I was on that stage. And people asked me, what did it feel like? Did you feel blessed? I said, no, I felt validated. I felt like, oh God, you've been hearing me this whole time. Oh, I thought you were ignoring me and moving all my friends' prayers up in the front of the line. But what I did not know, you were taking every prayer that I prayed and you were making a snowball of an avalanche of a blessing that was gonna roll down. And every time I prayed and every time I went to him and every time you go to him, he hears it. Every time you go to him about your child, he hears it. Every time you go to him about your spouse, he hears it. And what you don't know is that God is waiting to do a miracle in your life. And when it takes place, you will know it's him and only one person can get the glory. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, why is it so hard? Why is it so long? Why am I going through this? Well, number one, it's because he's developing something in you. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, and it's called the fruit of long suffering. And sometimes you're just gonna suffer for a little while. You're gonna suffer. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. But believe me, you're gonna suffer for a moment, but joy is coming. It's gonna come in the midnight hour. It's gonna come in a way that you never anticipated, and God is gonna bless you. Well, Tyshawn, I don't feel worthy of it. I didn't either. Even as I preach this word, even as I hold this microphone, I don't feel worthy, but what I do know is God is worthy. What I do know is that God wants to bless you. What I do know is that you did not go through what you went through just to go through it. You went through it because there's a blessing on the other side of it. And maybe, just maybe, God sent me here this morning because there's someone that you're just a day away. You're just a day away. Oh, I don't know who this is for, but I am riled up this morning. You are a day away. You have been waiting. You've been praying. Let me say this to someone. There's someone in this room, someone watching online. I don't know who this is for, but you've told the Lord this. God, if you gave me this, I'll do it. If you were to do this, then I'll do that. Remember that next week. Because you know what's so unfortunate about King Hezekiah that people don't preach on? Do you know that right after he gets this extension of life, 15 years, Chronicle is going to begin to tell us all the riches he had, all the treasures he had, and how the people from Babylon come to visit him. And the Bible says that what happens is he shows them everything. And you're not supposed to do that if you're the king. But because his heart got a little puffy and a little prideful, he did something that he wasn't supposed to do in the end. You know why? Because he forgot where the riches came from. And when we tend to forget the riches, when we tend to forget where it came from, you start thinking things like this. Oh, you think that's your money? You think those are your children? You think, the other day I was walking and I looked at somebody online. It was super random, a dude that's super random. I'll just tell you the succession of it. And God says, what if one day he does Project Salvation and you like, and he's like the next Project Salvation guy. And I got so like, what? And then God said, you think Project Salvation is yours? I said, my bad, it's not mine. Matter of fact, everything I have, God, does not belong to me. In fact, everything that I am is just simply a steward. I'm a steward of my marriage. I'm a steward of Reverie. I'm a steward of my ministry. I'm a steward of my money. This is not my money. This is not my ministry. These are not mine. There is nothing that you have that is yours. It is all God. So before God's blessed you, before God blesses you, I want you to consider your heart right now. What does he need to cling out of you? Is it bitterness? Let's get that out. Is there someone in here you're just not talking to him? Let's talk to him today. I know we have brunch. I know we want to go eat, but I really do believe that we just need to spend time in his presence. And so if you're in this room and you know, I just need the Lord to speak to me concerning something. It could be your health. It could be your marriage. It could be money. I don't know what it is, but what I do believe is that we all have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You ever heard someone say this? God's gonna humble them. Do you know God can't humble people? For if I humble you, that's not humility. That's why you can be humiliated and prideful and still not be humble. Ever see the kid carrying 17 boxes, can't do it, the boxes fall, and they rather try again? It shows you that we can be humiliated and we still won't ask for help. We have to humble ourselves. That's why the king prayed. He humbled himself because he's the king of these people, but he's still subject to the king above him.